This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Two boys from my old neighborhood were best friends. They lived on the same street and were the same grade in school. Eric was a tremendous athlete, football, baseball star. He was a student government rep. He was one of those just all around good guys. Everybody liked him. Jeremy was not involved in anything extracurricular. No clubs, no sports, nothing school sponsored at all. When they were seniors, they pulled a stunt. They got caught. They got suspended for 5 days. That should have been it, equal treatment. But because Eric was suspended that week, he couldn't play in the big game. Because he couldn't play in the big game, the college that was scouting him didn't get to see him play. So they stopped recruiting him. The principal didn't feel like his actions, kind of supported the moral character of student government. So he was asked to resign his position. Then his girlfriend's parents said, he's basically a hoodlum and we don't want you to see him anymore. I always felt that what happened to Eric was far worse than what happened to Jeremy. 5 days after being off of school, Jeremy's life didn't change at all. Eric's changed forever. And I, of course, was just lamenting about it, having my soapbox about it, saying how unjust it was. And my dad finally said, the more you have, the more you have to lose. Now, y'all, I want to tell you something. They say you can't go home again. They say don't meet your heroes. But I feel like I am headed to a reunion with a hometown hero of mine. Y'all, this is the first time that I am able to welcome Judge Glenda Hatchett to Zone 7. Now, I want to tell y'all a little bit about her. You know her from TV's Judge Hatchett and from The Verdict with Judge Hatchett. We are both native Atlantans, but that ain't how we met. She graduated from law school at Emory. From there, she did a federal clerkship in the U.S. District Court of Northern Georgia. Followed that, she had a coveted position with Delta Airlines. She served not only as their senior attorney, but also the head of their public relations. She litigated cases in federal court and supervised global issues from Asia, Europe, and the United States. Ebony Magazine recognized her as one of the 100 best and brightest Black women in corporate America, January of 1990. Emory University awarded her the Emory Medal for her commitment to excellence with service to the community. In 1990, she had a hard decision to make. She decided to leave Delta Airlines and accept an appointment as the chief presiding judge over the Fulton County Juvenile Court. What she has gone on to do is earn two Daytime Emmy Award nominations. She became a best-selling author. Her book, Say What You Mean and Mean What You Say, Lord, if that don't sound like her, followed up with Dare to Take Charge, How to Live Your Life on Purpose. Y'all, to know her is to respect her and to just love her and know that you are in the midst of greatness. But listen, now this is where our paths cross. In the first moment that I met Judge Hatchett, every single thing that I had thought previously about juvenile court ceased to exist. I was watching greatness and I knew it. I was assigned to Operation Weed and Seed. That's the most violent zone in Atlanta. If you know, you know. And every now and then, I would have somebody get in a lot of trouble in juvenile court. And I would always try to go with them because we had Thomasville Heights, Inglewood Manor, Capitol Homes in Four Seasons. Zone 3 back in the late 80s and early 90s was violent, y'all. It was mob cooked and street gang fed, baby, all day long. Judge Hatchett, welcome to Zone 7.
Oh, Cheryl, first of all, I'm so full and very touched by that introduction. And you know what a blessing to reconnect with you after all of these years. And as you're saying all these wonderful things about me, your audience needs to know that you have been righteously on the front lines battling for justice. And you've always been that way. And I am just grateful for your life and your dedication, because I know that you turn lives around. And for that, I am very grateful. Very, very grateful.
Well, those words mean more than you know. Let me tell y'all something. When I was first assigned to Operation Weed and Seed through the Crime Commission, they sent me out there with the Atlanta Police Department. There was no book. There was no, how do we do this? How do we get into a community that needs so much help and really make a difference? The first time, Judge, I ever met you, I walk in, I've got a little fella that you're going to remember. You noticed, I guess, that, hey, there must be more to this. And the very first conversation you and I ever had was a sidebar. You brought me up and you were like, what's happening? And I said, well, we got a little fella here that made a mistake. Absolutely. Judge, do you remember Gator?
Yes, I remember Gator. Oh, my goodness. And I don't laugh because of any, I don't mean that in a derogatory day. I just remember that it was,
it was a scene movie worthy. So y'all, let me paint the picture. This little fellow was 8 years old and he was a tiny 8 year old.
I mean, really tiny. For
tiny. But he had a smile that took up most of his face. And that's why they called him Gator. And everybody loved him. When I tell you how sweet and how kind, just would hug you, wanted to be around you, always smiling, always happy. But he, of course, heard all the older boys talking all the time. And he thought, hey, whatever they do, I'm going to do. He just thought that was the thing to do. And he stole a car. And Judge, do you remember what the police thought was happening?
Well, let me tell you what happened. First of all, when he was in my courtroom, I mean, like, first of all, as you said, he was so small for an 8 year old. And, you know, and I'm like, why is this precious little boy in my courtroom? The way he got caught, the police, because he was so little, he scooted down in the car because he couldn't touch the accelerator and the brake. So he is like trying to drive, stretched down, scooted down, and the police honestly thought that the car had disengaged and was rolling on its own. And they were trying to stop the car, only to find Gator was in the car.
Yep. Fantastic. But let me tell you, you took him and spoke to him in such a loving, caring way to make him understand you could have been killed.
Yeah.
You could have killed somebody else, but you were not going to put that child in that revolving. You weren't going to do it.
I wasn't going to do it because the truth is that he did not understand, honestly. He was such a good kid. He was scared to death coming to court because I'm sure everybody had told him I was going to put him in jail.
Yes.
He was such a good kid. And when I talked to him, he had such a good heart. And remember, Cheryl, the reason that he took the car is that he took the car to take it to show his mom.
That's right.
Because they never had a car. They couldn't afford a car. They were in a situation where they, and so he took the car. He never intended to keep the car. He was just going to take it home, show this cool car to his mom, and he hadn't thought through taking it back, how he was going to get it back. He certainly hadn't thought through the consequences. He certainly didn't understand the police was going to stop him, and he certainly didn't understand that he was going to end up in court that day. And thank God he ended up in my courtroom.
Amen.
There was no way on this green earth that I was going to put that child, an 8-year-old, in jail with kids who would have, oh my goodness. And so, but you remember, I was stern with him. And I said, listen, what you did, and that's the whole thing. You could, I mean, he really, thank God he didn't hit anything. Thank God he didn't get hurt. Thank God he didn't hurt somebody else is what I told him.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not going to lock that baby up.
And when we left there that day, he looked at me and he went, she scared me. I said, she scared me too. Listen. And I told him, I said, she meant exactly what she said to you because you looked at him. And again, with all the love, you talked to him so beautifully, but you told him, I better not ever, ever
see you in my courtroom again. And I looked at him. I said, ever. I better not ever, ever see you in my courtroom again.
And you did not.
And I did not. I did not. I would love to know where Gator is now. I'd love to know what he's doing. I'd love to, you know, just see him again. But that could have been very different. I mean, he could have gotten caught up and his life would have been changed forever.
And, you know, everybody now knows about creative sentencing and all that sort of stuff. But back then, I had never heard of it. I sure, Lord, had never seen it in action. And I remember coming home that night and telling Walt, I had just seen the most amazing thing I had ever seen. I knew a life had been saved. I knew that he was now back on the path he should have been. And I thought, you know what? Here with Weed and Seed, we're going to be able to do some things. So I came back to you.
Right.
And I said, Judge, if it would be all right, it's not like you weren't busy enough because you had one of the largest juvenile court systems in the country.
In the country, that's true.
But I said, if I could bring some of the children to your courtroom and let you just talk to them and let them see, hey, wait a minute, she looks like me and she's a judge, you know, and she's from Atlanta. She sounds like me.
Right. And you can be a judge too.
And here we had these children that we brought. Not only did you talk to them and take great time, you posed for pictures, you let them hold the gavel, and you just gave them this just raw and honest talk about school and parents and home and friends and the neighborhood. And you told them all of you, can be better than where you are. You don't have to let that dictate anything to you.
Your past does not have to define your future. It does not.
Amen. And you told them something so cool because I don't think they ever realized this is your courthouse. And you told them not your courthouse for you to be sitting out there, but to be sitting right here. And you pointed to your chair. I'll never forget it. Remarkable.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
You know, we have some other cases that we can talk about, because we really have to be in the business of trying to change the direction of their lives. And I got a lot of grief. I got a lot of criticism because they said, oh, that judge is down there just coddling those children. She's just coddling those children. But I knew what I was doing instinctively. I mean, I'd never been a judge before, as you know, as you said to your audience. I came out of corporate America, but I came with the heart of really trying to change that system. And so I got our, with the help of people like you who understood what I was trying to do, we got that recidivism rate down to single digits. That is unheard of.
Single digits.
Anywhere in this country. We got it down to 9%.
9%. Mind-boggling.
It is. It is my body. And I caught pure you-know-what because, she's just too easy on these kids. But I knew what I was doing. I was trying to keep them out of the system. I was very creative with alternative sentencing. And if you recall, we started the first pilot of a relationship with the Boys and Girls Club. Back then it was Boys and Girls Club. It was both Boys and Girls Club. Now, I mean, it was just Boys Club back then. Mm-hmm. Now it's, you know, it's joint, it's girls too. And I would send the kids, I would say, okay, if you do X, Y, and Z, and I get a good report, then I will close this case and you won't have a record. And so I got pushback from people in the system, but I also got some pushback from the people in the Boys and Girls Club. And Frank Sanchez, to this day, is still a close ally. And we did shoulder to shoulder, because there were people like, we don't want those bad kids in the Boys and Girls Club, in the Boys Club then, boy, we don't want them. And so, you know, I had to do a lot of educating on that side too. But I can go back and tell you that there were very few children who fell off the track. And that's what I needed. And that's what we did with the Truancy Intervention Project, as you well know. Let's get these kids off the streets. Let's get them back in school. Chief Graham came over to see me one day. I'll make this story short. Chief Graham, Lewis Graham, was Fulton, chief of Fulton County Police. Mm-hmm. He came over. He's a big guy. He came over, told June, my secretary, I need to talk to the judge. So, you know, she passes me a note. So soon, you know, as soon as I took a break, finished one of whatever I was doing, I came in. He said, Judge, I heard that you stopped and picked up some kids off the street and took them to school this morning. I said, yes, I did, Chief. He said, you can't do that anymore. I said, Chief, I saw these kids. They were school age. I stopped my car and I put them in my car. I took them to school. because you and I know, and what I want your audience to know, is that a child who drops out of school is 3.5 times more likely to have a criminal record. And so we gotta do better. We've got to do better about keeping our kids in school and encourage. And I did a lot of work as on the National Board of Boys and Girls Club. And I would always say, you know, because there are kids in these clubs after school, which we know 3 to 6 is the highest incident of teenage pregnancy. You would think it would be, you know, at night or on the weekends or whatever. But no, it's that unsupervised time where kids are being recruited by drug dealers or some no good older guy says, come here, baby, let me rock your world. And so we have to really be intentional. And that's why I so respect you and the work that you have done, because we can change this. We can change it. And as you have heard me say many a time, that if we can get a hold of these young people now, get them on the right track, out of the system, then we are making a head start on their children's 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 children. And in a way that the work lives beyond us. And I so believe in this. I just so believe in this work.
But that's the sermon. That's what people need to hear. Saving this one child saves generationally.
Yes. So what we know, let me tell you what we know from studies. We know that, talked about the truancy, 3.5 times more likely to have a criminal record. What we also know from these studies, that if a child drops out of school, they are 7 times more likely to have a child who would drop out of school. And so we've got to change this whole dynamics, the trajectory of all of this. And they are then 7 times more likely to be dependent on welfare during their lifetime. And so what I used to also say over and over, and I would go and I'd be recruiting corporate partners and religious partners and social services partners, you know, it's trying to reweave the fabric of our community and bringing different stakeholders to the table. As you know, I used to have these bring your bag, bring your own lunch, and I would do drinks and desserts. And so I would have people from the housing authority and the police department and the school department and the, you know, whatever, all these different stakeholders, because we can't operate in silos. And what I do know to be true is that we have to figure out these stronger alliances. And what I do know to be true is that if we can keep our kids in school and engaged, and they have some hope of further opportunities, then we're making a head start. And so I'd always say, listen, we're going to do one of two things. Either we're going to invest heavily on the front end, like programs like Head Start, and really figuring out how we do after school programs. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of after school programs. And how do we do that? And I've sat on this national organization talking about that and been in Washington and blah, blah, blah. But the point is that either we're going to spend the money and the time, the energy to pour in on the front end, or what I say Head Start, meaning kind of generically, not just the Head Start program, but giving this generation a head start, or we're going to pay dearly on what I call back end costs for prison. And so when I was on the bench, and I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but I used to pull out the numbers and say, listen, it costs me 4 times as much to incarcerate a juvenile in Fulton County than it would for me to send them for a year than it would send me to send them to the University of Georgia. 4 times as much.
That's the truth. And people don't know that.
For tuition, it would cost me 4 times what it would cost me to send them to college for a year. What is wrong with that picture?
That's right. You could take what it would cost to house them in juvenile corrections and then send them to private school and save money.
That is really true.
It is absolutely true. Woodward would be a song compared to what it would put in the incarceration fund. You're worlds apart.
And the other thing, too, is I used to have to fight I would show up at, you know me, I would show up at the school board meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'd show up. You know, I would show up. And they were like stunned because they'd never had anybody do that before. And I'm like, no, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be right here. Because they were going to cut the budget for the school in the detention center. And I'm saying, no, no, no. The kids who are in the detention center still need to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when they get out, they're going to be so far behind, then they are going to really feel hopeless and they're going to be likely candidates to drop out of school. Well, we don't think, I'm like, listen, I don't care what you think. I need this budget. I do not need the budget cut. And I will be here every meeting until you decide that you're going to do right.
And that's another thing that I want people to hear. You did not stay in the ivory tower, they call it, with your robe on, having coffee. No, you're in the street. You were in the school board meeting. You're in the community center. You're in the churches. Everybody knew you.
Urban League, I had them put a phone on my, you remember, I had them put a phone on the bench.
Yes, that, ma'am.
Because I would have to keep hopping up, going to my office, and I would call Lyndon Wade, who then was the head of Urban League in Atlanta, and I said, listen, Lyndon, I need a job for this father so I can get this family stabilized, so I can get this kid in the same school district. And so I would call Miss Sherman. Because, mm-hmm. I grew up here, like you grew up here. So
that's right.
People.
That's right.
And then one principal sent me a message and said, I don't run her school. I said, excuse me? What? And so I had to show cause, because what was happening is that they were showing the kids on the roll, but then opening the door and telling them don't come back because they were troublemakers. Oh, I had a fit. And I said, you know, look, I said, I'm calling you in here. But the next time I'm calling you in here, it will be for a hearing to hold you in contempt of court. And I mean that. And I said, and the next person I will call will be the superintendent, your boss. And I don't think any of you all want to be held in contempt of court. And so when I order a child back into school, I mean it. I mean exactly that.
And that wasn't just an order to that child. That's to the principal and the teacher and everybody else.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. I said, I want this child back in school. I want this child enrolled. If it was a Friday, I want that child enrolled by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, Monday morning. And I meant that. So one parent said very early on, she said, there is a blankety blank downtown who, you know, is threatening to lock up parents because the mother to go put the child in school. Child is right back in my courtroom a few months later, having burglarized somebody's house. She never enrolled him in school. So she said, well, this is juvenile court. You can't lock me up. I said, watch me. I have jurisdiction over anybody who contributes to the delinquency or the deprivation of a child. And you have done both. You have done both. I said, you think I'm playing with you? Oh, you know how it would be in court. So then the word got around that blankety blank, that new blankety blank downtown. She gonna be locking folk up.
Yep.
And I meant that, you know.
All right, Judge, I got to tell on you. Yes, you had the phone put right there on the bench. And yes, you used it for so much good. But let me tell you what I remember. I remember when you would give somebody a directive and then they would come in with their excuse. Well, I tried to do the community service, but so-and-so happened. Oh, so you couldn't get with Mr. David? Hold on. Da, 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 da. You knew the number by heart. Da, da. And then you could see everybody else. Is that crazy so-and-so calling David? Wait, she's checking my story right now in front of everybody? Right now in front of God and country, you're going to call David. Because number one, David knows too. David, if I send somebody to you to pick up trash on Peachtree Street, that's exactly what they better be doing, right? I mean, you could watch people's faces. And it was like, well, the next one is not going to get up and tell some story because Judge Hatch is going to call.
Oh, I'm going to call. And the other thing is the court reporters used to tease me because they said, Judge, we don't even know why we're in here taking stuff down because you can remember stuff verbatim. Because somebody would say something and I said, no, 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 you just said so and so and so. I said, no, let's just check it. Would you read that back on the record? And it would be exactly what I just said. And they come back in 6 months later and I could remember everything that my own children at home like hated that because I can remember everything that was a gift that God gave me. But you come back in here a year later, and I'd be like, Cheryl, excuse me. Now, we had this conversation when you were in here. And what did I tell you? I told you if you came back in here one more time with this foolishness, you weren't going to go home. Did I not tell you that? Yes, ma'am. One kid literally came and turned himself in. He showed up at the courthouse. This is a true story, Cheryl. He shows up at the courthouse, and they're saying, Judge, so-and-so is here. I said, why is he here? He says, he needs to talk to you. He said, Judge, I'm just going to come in right now. I messed up. You told me to do this, that, and the other. I didn't do it. I was running with the wrong crowd. You told me not to do it. I got in trouble. So I'm just coming here to turn myself in right now. I said, well, there's a certain thing called due process. Let's get you a lawyer. Let's just, you know, let me appoint a public defense. You know, but he was like, Judge, I already know what's going to happen. You already told me. You already told me what's going to happen. And, you know, the old stadium, I was walking across taking my own sons to a Braves game. Late one afternoon, the kids were hollering out the windows, you know, hollering. They saw me. And then my kids, I was brand new on the bench, and they were like, what is going on, Mommy? Why are they calling you? And I said, who's calling you? And I said, those are my children. And my kids were like, Mommy, don't say that. They are not your children. We're your children. I said, no, they're my children now, too. And so I had to explain to my own sons why this was important and why I was, because they were looking at me kind of crazy. You know, you left Delta Airlines and now we don't get to do a lot of stuff anymore. You know, we get in the back and people don't give us hors d'oeuvres or whatever. So, you know, we fly the no name air cheaper. No, anyway. So my point is that it was, you know, a big buy-in from my family as well.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Well, Judge, I got to tell you, we've talked a lot about statistics and numbers and creative sentencing, but I just want to talk directly to you, and I want to tell a story about Miss Hattie.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there were two little boys that, like boys will do, sometimes just decide to do something a little mischievous. Well, they decided they were going to push this mailbox over and hit it with some baseball bats and damage it and run off. And that's what they did. Well, they got caught. They got in front of you. And you said, listen, I could do this to you or this to you or this to you and put you in the system, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make y'all face the victim. And she's going to tell you what your actions caused her. So Ms. Hattie came to court. And there they were, and she started to speak, and she was very kind to them. And she let them know, I don't think y'all meant to do the harm that you did. But back then, y'all, she would get her Social Security check, but there was no such thing as direct deposit. She had to get that check and go to the bank to put it in order to pay her rent and to eat and to keep her lights on. So she explained that to them. I didn't have any money.
because I didn't have a mailbox and they weren't just going to leave it on the street. So she had to wait. I don't know how many weeks it was for them to be able to reissue the check or bring it back to her. She explained all that. She explained that she couldn't get any correspondence. She wasn't getting her bills, so she couldn't pay them. Again, for the young people listening, there was no way to pay on your phone. You had to write a check and mail it, but you had to have the bill to do that. It caused her a lot of pain. And then being on a fixed income, she did not have the money to buy the new mailbox, plus the cement, plus everything else she'd have to do to put it back in the ground. She was elderly and couldn't physically do it. So you told them, y'all are going to buy her a mailbox, and y'all are going to go install that mailbox. And if you need help from your daddy or your brothers or your uncles or neighbors, go get them. But y'all are going to do it. And you gave them a certain amount of time, and they were the three of them to come back. Well, Judge, when they came back into that courtroom, not only had they done what you told them to do with the mailbox, they cut her grass. They helped her put some new flowers in. They helped, you know, she had like a board or so, you know, loose on her porch. They fixed that. They stayed in Miss Hattie's life till they were out of high school doing things for her. So I want you to know, it was not just that moment, and because they were afraid that there was going to be, you know, worse punishment down the road if they saw you again, they legitimately became Miss Hattie's family.
Oh my God, that is so wonderful. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm tearing up listening to that.
So thank you for that.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, thank you. That touches my soul. That is why people were going to fit me for a straitjacket when I left Delta, making a lot of money in stock options that could fly anywhere in the world. But as I've told you before, that was not my decision. That was God's decision to move me there. And that is where I found my purpose and passion. And even though I was asked about moving to a higher court, moving to a appellate court in Georgia or a federal court, I never aspired to go any other court. And I would have never applied for a judgeship had it not been juvenile court. Because in my heart, to this day, I still believe that's the most important court in the system. Because if we get it right there, then we can turn a lot of lives around and we can save a lot of lives. And not to take anything away from the Supreme Court or the Georgia Court of Appeals, all of them have important work. But I still believe in my heart of hearts that the juvenile court is the most important court because it could either be the gateway to prison further on, or it can be what my father would tell me was the intersection of New Hope Road. And I didn't understand it growing up, but I get it, you know, really understand it as an adult. But he said, if you get to the intersection and you make the decision to turn off of the bad road that you're on and turn on to New Hope Road, and you walk down that road far enough, if you look back over your shoulder, you can no longer see the old road. And I've told that story more times than I can ever remember, but I believe that in my heart. And I believe that if we do a better job in juvenile court of having not only young people, but their families, because I believe, you know, I believe in holistic approach to the work that I did in juvenile court, that if you turn that corner of New Hope Road, and my father died suddenly 30 years ago, but I thank him for that lesson because it is a lesson that I've shared with so many young people and so many families over the years, because that is what this has to be about. And Cheryl, I thank God for you. I thank God for the work you have done. And just thank God for you. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, ma'am, you have taught me so much. And one thing you would always say to us is the more goodwill and understanding you can generate, the better off we will all be. And you live that. You don't just
write it down. You don't just say it from the bench. You live it. You walk it.
And everybody thinks I'm just a judge, but I am a great lawyer. And, you know, if you've got a serious case, you want me in the courtroom fighting for you. I'm based here in Atlanta, but I take cases from all over the country. As you know, my daughter died tragically in 2016 after giving birth to their second child, needlessly. So I am doing wrongful death cases. I am going to be doing some maternal death cases now because I'm emotionally strong enough to do it. Wasn't at first. So I do sexual assault cases. You know, I've also been a victim of sexual assault. I'm doing premises liability, as I said, wrongful death, catastrophic injuries from trucking and auto accidents. And I'm at the firm of Stuart Miller Simmons here in Atlanta. And it's easy to find me. It's 404 Law Firm. 404 Law Firm. Or you can just text to the number 21,000 and it will go into a system and someone will get back to you. So,
and I'll tell you what else I'll do for everybody listening. I'm going to add a link, not just to the law firm. I think there's a QR code and some other things. I'm going to make it easy to find her, especially if you need her.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, you know, I didn't bring it up. To me, it wasn't worth bringing up for a thousand reasons, but here's the part that is worth bringing up. Again, you've lived it. You've walked it. You've shown that you don't just talk about justice when it's somebody else that's been hurt. You were hurt. You were assaulted. And you stood up and you pointed to him and you said what he did and you stood by it. And you got justice, not just for yourself.
Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. I never wanted to be the poster child for sexual assault, but God puts you where you're supposed to be. And if it had to happen to someone, it's best that it happened to me. And best is not probably the right word. It's better that it happened to me because I have the support. I know the law. People really rallied around me. And the number of people from all over the country, I've had people even from outside the country reach out to say, Judge, thank you. I didn't have the strength or didn't know what to do when it happened to me. And I felt like you have stood up for a lot of women and you've given other women courage now to speak their truth.
And you saved who knows how many future victims because you stopped him.
Yes, that's true. That is true. That is true. And others like him who think that this is really okay. So I do take on representing sexual assault victims in addition to premises liability. And so if people need me, thank you for posting that. Mm-hmm. And so we will be sure, if you let April know, we'll be sure and post the link to this podcast so that people will know that you have this wonderful forum that you're using for good, and for which I'm very grateful.
Y'all, I'm going to end Zone 7 the way that I always do, with a quote. It's so easy to get in the juvenile justice system and so hard to get out. Anonymous 17-year-old female. I'm Cheryl McCollum, and this is Zone 7.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance.
Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.